want to thank God. I just want to thank God that, you know, for the first time, the Lord brought triplets into our church. We've got twins. We've got twins. We've got two pairs of twins here in this church, and we've got twins coming on the way. So this morning as I was worshiping, and I saw the triplets inside here. And I said, Lord, wonderful. I see them. It's not necessary. I'm blessed, I said. The Lord says, you know, every time man asks for double portion of anointing, double portion of multiplication, double of what? He says, why you always limit yourself? Ask more. You can have more than four, three also if you want to. Amen. It's a blessing. So God will give you also blessings more than at one time. You always ask, Lord, give me double, double, double of whatever I have today. But don't ask double. Say, ask more and God will give you more. God doesn't have any restriction in what numbers. Amen. Wonderful. It's not only in children, but also in many other ways. Amen. Praise God. Father, we just want to thank you, Father, for this morning, Father. I submit myself to you, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, your only Son. Spirit of God, take control of my mind, my lips and my tongue and my heart. Everything I speak, let it come from you, only from you. Every word that's spoken, O Lord, will be, O Lord, a seed that is planted today. Let everything, O Father, be stirring of your spirit, man, of the spirit of man, each one of them. May their hearts be stirred towards to be on fire for you, Father God. That hearts will be turned and churned today, that they'll have the love for the Father more than ever time before. And I pray, Father, this morning, we just want to thank you for all you're going to do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. It is very apt, even Brother Brian brought up an issue, talked about wedding feast. Right? He said he went for a wedding feast, and then that's they have the angpaos. So I'm going to speak about another wedding feast today in the gospel. Let's turn to chapter 22 of Matthew, wedding feast. Matthew chapter 22. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they came, but they made light of it and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, but bad, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he said he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Praise God. So we will not have angpao today, and we tell God, I owe you. All right, we will not leave anything. I owe you, Lord. Never mind, I'll take care of it later. All right, let's look at how we look at the scripture today. The first of all, he says the wedding feast. We understand what is this wedding feast Jesus is talking about. I know every one of you know. Some of you have heard about this message. Some of you know this message. Some of you would have known that the wedding feast is about not the wedding feast in the world. The king is God the Father, and the son is the Jesus Christ himself, and the Holy Spirit is the one who's arranging for it and taking care of us. Now, we all know the wedding feast we are going to go. Even just now, as we read Matthew just now about the 26th, chapter 26, he's talking about, I will not drink of this cup until the day I see be with you in feast. And you see that said repeatedly. And he said, that feast, the wedding feast. What is this wedding feast? The Son, Jesus Christ, has espoused us as the church itself, as his spouse. The day will come when the last day he'll call all the spouse, and on that day he'll have a wedding feast. That a spouse has made it. They've kept themselves. Even in parable, another parable, he says about the women, the virgins who are waiting. It's again the wedding feast. Nothing else. It's about coming back of Jesus Christ and we're ready. So at that, on that day, he'll be looking at every one of us. He'll look at James. He'll look at every one of you here. And he'll say, I'm happy to be here today. And I'm happy you are here today. And we'll have the feast. Amen. But you also know the people that he talked about, that the people he has called and says, those who were chosen, were invited and called, they did not come. Let's look at it first. You know? I want to see two parts of this message. First part, I'll see, talk about what's the contents. Then we'll talk about the present day. We'll look at God as present day. The invitation was refused, the first part. Why was it refused? Number one, not because it was involved suffering. They didn't have to pay anything. Not like, you know, Bernard said this morning that, you know, you have to pay some money and you have the man will be waiting outside of the basket and put all the money before you go and eat. You don't need red or green color or whatever angpao he doesn't need. He says, just come for the wedding. It's an invitation. You don't have to pay anything. It's free. If today in the world, like I say, I've got a free makan here and open up one stall up here, everybody be crowded. I know people whom I know in my life who will bring Tupperware from their house just because it's free. They can also reserve it for a night and for the next day or 3 days. And the handbags will be quite big. On that day particularly, the handbags will be quite big. They won't bring haversack or handbags. I don't know where they buy. Ladies, I don't know where you get your handbags, big handbags. But you see, on the day they will come, they will take and easily eat on the day because it's free. But God is asking, this king is saying, I've got a feast. It's not a feast, ordinary feast. It's a kingly feast. If I call, probably, you know, I could afford what I could afford, I'll give you a feast. But he says, it's a king who's inviting. A king who invites, he knows, owns everything. Just imagine Solomon or King David invites for a wedding feast. How many of them are there? Everybody wants to go because the food is good. Some of them in their own life, you know, our own life, we have never eaten kingly food. So rich food. So it's expensive. But God, in his own presence and way, he says, I have prepared a wedding feast and I'm inviting you to come. Because it's free, they don't want to come. Is it so? It was nothing they have to pay for. No ang pao, they don't have to write an IOU, they don't have to write a post-it check. Nowadays, post-it checks become a rubber bouncing like in the bank. You don't have to do anything, just free. But you see, the people were invited. It's not that they were not invited. The feast was ready. The second thing I see in that thing, there was not that the wedding feast was not ready. It was ready, well-prepared wedding feast. See, the king must have prepared a wedding feast long ahead of time. If you go back to the Old Testament and see King David when he has a feast, and all those kings in the Old Testament you find, when they have a feast, they prepare it. They employ so many people to come and prepare the food, and they will anticipate a certain amount of guests, and they'll give them out. In Malaysia, when you have this Hari Raya open house, the Prime Minister orders, do you think the Prime Minister orders only for 10 people? Last time I remember when you go to the feast, you know, it was in Putrawal Center, people wait. And it's all there, buffet style. And people eat and eat and then they'll throw away all those, they cannot eat. So greed is taken over, they'll eat and then they'll put everything inside. They can't finish, they'll put one side and see something else, they're greedy, they're going to take some more. So decided the Prime Minister became wise. He says, from now on I'm not going to give you buffet style, I'm going to give you in Tupperware style. So he bought all those, the small plastic containers, cheap one, 50 cents, 20 cents, he bought in bulk. He says, put this little bit, this little bit. So everybody gets some of something. So there was no waste. Even then I see people will get one, the guy will give you one, and they'll go away that side, they'll queue again, another one, they'll come back, another one. Because he doesn't take photo pictures and remember you, how many of them. There are thousands of them coming. Can you just imagine some of them I've observed? And they will go straight and they'll take one turn and put it somewhere to somebody else and come back and take another one. See, that's greedy. So the food must be good. That is why they're doing it. That's the king's food. Everybody wants to have double portion, triple portion, or even many portions for the king's food. King's food was ready. A food which you have never eaten before probably. It's ready now. With all those different styles and different chefs have already cooked, it's ready now. Not that it was not ready. The word of God says,
The wedding is ready.
Amen. Nor were they rejecting the wedding, wedding feast. They were invited. They rejected again. Why do they rejected? Were they not invited? They were invited. See, the word of God says they went and called them out. They went and invited them. A proper way of invitation. Some of us in our life, you see, if somebody doesn't invite you by a card, a relation, you know, the Indians have got a style, you know. I receive sometimes a betel leaf, and then they'll put some betel nut, and I don't know why they must give me like that. And say, because you're my relation, I must give you like this invitation. I say, no, you just mail to me, I'll come, what? No, it's a tradition, I must give you this, I must come and see you, and talk. Don't have to, just call me and I'll come. Some of us, we have got all this grandeur, you know, and they'll put all those things around that, nice scent, you know, because you're my relation, I must give you. Gone are the days. Jesus did, probably, the king invited every one of them because they are relations, chosen ones. He invited them with special inviters. He didn't send any ordinary servants. Probably he sent the best of the servants, or the best of the masters in the house. Probably his secretary went up there. His PA went up there to invite. Probably if he's a king, he's got ministers to go and invite. They rejected. Brothers and sisters, the three things I talked about just now talks about the historical period of Jesus, of the Israelites. If you reflect back again, the Old Testament speaks about the Jews, the chosen people. The people, the Israelites, he chose them and he brought them. He invited them for a feast and said, this is ready now, come. They refused. Some went on with things of their own. Some of them went on, did something else on their own. They had an excuse. Year after year, there was excuse for the Israelites not to come to accept Jesus Christ. They were invited. They didn't want to come. The feast is ready. They don't want to come. They don't have to pay. They don't want to come. They don't have to pay for their sins. They don't want to come. They still want to go and sacrifice. They are still waiting now for the third temple to be built so that they can go and sacrifice now. Do you know about another second temple coming up now in Israel? The third temple. They're already collecting donations. When that comes up, they want to go and sacrifice. Overdue for the generations, past generation. You don't need to do because Jesus Christ has already done it. You don't have to spend the money anymore. Because Jesus Christ has already done it. It's free. Come. Just say, Jesus Christ, I want to come for the wedding of the Son, Jesus Christ. And they can come and enjoy the feast. Why are they still not talking about coming back to the Lord? Because they still have their pride. They are busy with their own things in their life. If you find Jesus, God has prepared, the King, God has prepared. He sent, the Word of God also says that just now, He sent some of them. The second time when they sent, it's not that He doesn't want them, He loves them. But you see, He sent them the second time. Go and call them again. And what they did this time? They took it so lightly. And what did they do? They killed every one of them. Who were the one people who were killed? Prophets were killed. Ministers of God were killed in the Old Testament. Because they called upon the Israelites. And they know, they took advantage of them and killed them. Even the book of Acts, they took advantage of them and killed them. You had one pastor from Israel who was here. Jacob Damkani was here. Jacob Damkani. He came here. He said he was slapped. He was kicked. He was spat upon for speaking the gospel to others. I know a friend of mine who is he's a colonel, full colonel from the Singapore Army. He was the attache, military attache in Israel. When he preached the gospel to the Jews at the street sides, you know what they did? They slapped him. They got together and whacked him up until he was broken. He is a attache. They whacked him up. If only he would have complained. And the same man who approves millions of dollars of arms and other things they have to buy from Israel for Singapore, they kicked him. So these are the people God sends to draw them back to Jesus Christ. Till today, they are still doing the same. Are you happy so far? You're happy they are being, they're not coming, huh? Right? We're happy that they are not into that kind of motion, that God is not punishing us in any way. But you see, most important thing I want to bring attention today is because they were not fit to be there, because God chose them to bring them nearer to them. He says, I did not call you. You did not call me. I called you. You did not choose me. I chose you.
But you see, the people were taking it very lightly. They did not honor and respect the king. The king they call king. The God they say God, yeah. They are not saying they're respecting it. They are not respecting him by even honoring his call, his invitation. Brothers and sisters, whatever the 4 points I spoke about just now, I want you to search your heart. Search your heart. There are many of us who have come to know the Lord. There are many outside there still do not know the Lord. We are still calling. We are still praying. We are still asking them to join the Lord. But just see how Israelites were condemned first. Even after they were dispersed from their land, they were chased out from their land, they were sent out to Babylon and other nations all over the world, they are now coming back again. Still they do not want to recognize Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The point is, not God doesn't love them. He loved them. He has already loved them by sending His Son. He has already loved them by sending His Son. Amen? Praise God. So they were occupied in their own self-interest. They were wrapped up in their own doings of the days. They were personally invited, but yet they were interested in their own self. Their methodology, their way of thinking, their thoughts towards what about God, and the thoughts about when God will come back, when will God pacify them, when the king will come, they are waiting. There are many times in our life, in our own life, even after becoming Christians, we wait. The time and season will come, I will change. The time and season will come, my birthday will come, my anniversary will come, I will change. When do you procrastinate to change? When is the change going to happen in our lives? Just like the Jews? Right. Christ's mercy and grace is upon us, upon the Jews till today. Otherwise, even what happened now in Israel and in Egypt, it'll be worse than this. Amen? The second part I want to see is, when God was disappointed, with the people, He did not stand there alone. He did not sit there and say, "Oh, my people did not come. And he didn't cry about it. This time, second point I want to bring out is, God decided to expand, enlarge His mission and commission. God decided to expand. He expanded this mission, commission to everybody else. Because disappointment did not set him back, did not give him setbacks, but he arose activities. He arose enterprisingly. He says, "No, go out. Get out there." He said, "Call these people. Go out there now." He didn't say, "No, my people don't come. I want to sit down here." Sometimes we understand, no? Sometimes John 3:16, we misinterpret many times. Many times. You know what's John 3:16? How many of you can recite that very well? Pick it up from there. John 3:16. God so loved the world. I was going through the Lineal Bible the other day. It says, God so loved. Actually, the Greek version, original Greek version is, so God loved. It's not God so loved. The original Greek version is, so God loved. It's not, I love you so much. No. So, after an activity, so, if you connect back again to verse 14 and 15, and you'll understand why God is saying. And go and see verse 17, then you'll understand the verse of God loved, yes. He has already given His Son, yes. But many of us are taking it very lightly to today. Very lightly. Christians are very lightly. And I hear, sometimes, you know, you see people, I've got this vision, you know, going up to heaven, some coming down, some of them go to hell and come back and see, tell you Lord. And this, I remember the time when the three men, a man who died for 3 days, a man of God who died in South Africa for 3 days, many years ago. The videos, I think in our church we showed, but the videos are no longer available. I don't know what happened to the videos, the CDs. But if you see that man who was dead for 3 days, how compassionately his wife, he says, "No, the word of God is right. He will not let my husband die now. This is too soon." And she brought him to Reinhard Bonnke's meeting at a backyard. And Reinhard Bonnke did not even lay hands on him. People started praying. The ordinary people there, the pastor started praying, and he rose from the dead. 3 days later. It's an evidence. It's written. And today the man is still alive. People are taking it lightly. They tell us about things. Even pastors, you know. Pastors are there, out there. People, ordinary people are out there. But we don't take heed. Jesus himself gave a parable, he says, about Lazarus and the rich man. Remember the Lazarus and the rich man? Not the Lazarus which was raised from the dead. Another Lazarus, the beggar, at the gate of a rich man's house. The rich man was in hell. The beggar was in heaven. He says, ask Lazarus to give one drop of water onto my lips, on my tongue. I'll be satisfied. Why did he talk about hell? Why did he talk about heaven at the time, Jesus himself? It's existing. It's existing. The word of God just now said, those who came, who burned, who actually killed, murdered his people, he took them and burned them, destroyed them totally. God did, in the Old Testament, destroyed the Israelites, allowed the Israelites to be destroyed. The northern part, all of them were destroyed. Benjaminites and all of them were all no longer there. You don't find other tribes. The Jews from the lower part went up. And they're now coming back. It's a reminder for us, brothers and sisters, what's happening in the Middle East, what's happening all over the world. I want you to go back and read Revelation. You'll understand what I'm saying. Go back and read what Matthew is saying in the Gospel of Matthew. You'll understand what Jesus is talking about, the days and times. He did not set back. He says, oh, I'm disappointed. You know, I'm really disappointed now. I want to sit down and cry. You know, my people I've chosen, they didn't come. I sent my messengers, my ministers went up there and called them up. First time, no. The second time I called them, no, they didn't want. They even ridiculed my servants. And even some of them he murdered. But he didn't set back. God didn't set back. Many of us in our life, when we have one trial in our life, when you are disappointed with something, we sit down and we cry out the whole day. And we don't want to do anything anymore. How many of us are giving up life? Giving up hope? Last week I talked about hope. Because something happened in our life. I was one of those idiots. I gave up everything. Sat down. Not working for 5 years. Because there was still income coming. I was sitting down. I said, never mind. I'm thinking about every day, whole day. Until God has shaken me and tell me out. Get up! Because sometimes some of us slumber. Some of us think what has happened in our life is no more challenge in our life. God says, when I give you something, when I disappoint something, now rise up enterprisingly. Use your mind, use your spirit. Ask the Spirit of God to rise you up so that you can go and fight better battles. I didn't mention to you the other day, when I was counseling, somebody said, I feel like suiciding. I said, you're looking at a man who wanted to suicide. After I came out, my senses came back. I said, how stupid I was. I said, if you want to die, very easy. Look for a fight where there's two countries are fighting. Look for a good country. Join the army. Go and go to the front line. And you fight. And you know, die. It's a good cause. Right or not? So at least for a good cause you die. You die like a chicken. What's the use? Yesterday I took somebody out for lunch. The person is here for 3 days in this nation. Pastor, I don't understand your country. I opened the thing. This guy yesterday suicide. This one, another one jumped out from the day. Why is this happening? And she said, no, the worst part, yesterday's paper I saw, this guy, his girlfriend wanted to die, he went and hugged her, a holder, and after that, he jumped out. I didn't read the paper, I don't understand. People from foreign country come and tell me about all this nonsense. Why? People like us are not working. People like us are not working. Amen. We have to raise up. We have to rise up. Disappointments will always be there. There is no disappointments. There is no courage for you. There is no fighting spirit for us. But God himself showed his a character. He said, when I was disappointed with my people, I did not sit down. I expanded my territory now. I don't want to say my chosen people only. Now every Gentile, come. Come. I expanded my vision. I expanded my things that I want to look at people at. Amen. Disappointment suggests that you don't have one sphere, one level of thinking only. Disappointment makes you to a different level. He said, go to the highway. He didn't go to the low way, he says. When the word of God says, you go to the highway, don't look down.
people who are disappointed will still be down. Remember I told you last week? They will be in a plateau which is down, and they'll be all the time swimming there, living there, eating there, everything they do there. But people who are challenged, who are on the rise up, they'll go in a highway. They look things higher above the things that you see. God showed us. He says, don't go to the low ways. Don't go to the slum, but go to the highways and get the people down. When you go to the highway, who are the people who go on the highway? Everybody will be on the highway. The sinful people, the good people, the naughty people, whatever you say, they are there on the highway. All different walks of people in life will be walking on the highway. Because they don't know where they're going. The highway will go and go and go and go. They don't know where they're going. So God says, go to the highway, get all those people, they don't know where they're going, bring them here. When my people, I know where they're supposed to go, they know where they're supposed to go, they don't want to come. Forget about them, I'll destroy them. I'll go into the expansion now. I'll see the highway. People do not know where they're going. Like zombies, they're walking there. I don't know where. Where are you going? I don't know. The highway is leading me. Where are you going? I don't know. I'm going. You ask people today, what is the plan you have in your life? I do not know, Pastor. Does it sound familiar? I don't know, Pastor. What do you think you'll be in 10 years' time? I don't know, Pastor. You know what you do this end of this year? I don't know, Pastor. My job, lah. You know what else? Go in, they out, work and come back, and then they sleep and eat and sleep and sleep. And you'll have a belly like mine. That's what we do. Eat, sleep, belly like mine. So don't have that attitude. Let's go out somewhere. He says, no, these people should not be knowing where they not. They do not know where they're going to go. I am a God. I want to expand my territory. And I call these people to come so that I will show them the way. Jesus Christ was the way. Amen. So he did not say, go to the low parts, to the people who are already in the fields, who are already staying there. And I invited them. They know where they're supposed to be with me. They know my name. They know my name is Yah. They're supposed to call me Yah. They don't even say it nowadays because they say it's secret. They respect me that way, culturally, but not in the way their thoughts, the way they behave. When they turn down God's wedding feast, they've turned God down. Amen. So he went to the highway to find as many people as possible. The third thing is the people as many. Everybody is walking there. As many. There's no limitations for the people who can come for the feast. You know, the king of Malaysia or even any country, he has got a certain amount. He will say, let's prepare for 100,000 people for today. From last year's experience, we have got about 100,000. So maybe we'll expect 10,000 extra this year, 10% extra. But God says, everybody, the food is as abundant as many comes on for a feast day. Amen. So there is nobody who will say, I don't know where I'm going. The fourth thing is, it is a public encounter in a highway. What is a public encounter? The servants he sent had a public encounter. The servants were all the time enclosed in their feelings. They were enclosed in the things they were doing all the time. Now the servants go and they say, oh, highway is like this. Huh? How come this we find this kind of people here? How many of you do not go out of your territory? Do not go out of your enclosure and to find out people outside? There are sometimes, you know, I do counseling for one person. It's very tough. You know, all the time enclosed in their own world. They don't see the poor people. They don't see how people suffer. They don't see how people actually go through daily life because everything is provided. Sometimes they take it for granted. My lifestyle is this. I don't care what happens to the other person. We stay in our own enclosure. But this time, the servants had an encounter of life on the highway. To see people of different walks of life. To see people who are bad. To see people who are good. To see people who are naughty. To see prostitutes. To see beggars. To see people who have been working in mine coals. Almost lost their lives. See people who are pilots. They're all walking on the highway. They see doctors walking on the highway. They see barbers walking on the highway. They see washerwomen walking on the highway. They see salesmen walking on the highway. They know their life now. They have an encounter of their life. We do not have an encounter with people's life, so we do not know about them. How many of us know about the encounter of another person, a barber? We go to a barber, very easy to come out. You talk to him for a while, he's encounter his frustration, no? He has got to do the machine or a Caesar for a whole day. It says, he pulled out like that and he puts, no, yesterday I went for a haircut. I saw the guy observing. He says, he was massaging his hands. It must have been painful for him doing it. And yet he has to do because he has got to earn a living. Right? There are some people who don't sleep for hours. Not that they don't want to sleep. They have to earn the money for the family. We don't know that. But we take life so easy. That's why you don't have an encounter of the highway. The highway represents the people of different walks, different levels of life who will walk there. And they will be able to see. And you will be able to see the types of people you're going to see. The third part is, I want to check, bring to you all, that they found them willing to come. See, when the chosen people were not willing, they went to the highway, people were willing to come. They were willing to come. There were a lot of people who were in there. Why do we say which will come? The former servants who had escaped death went out again. They went out again. And they talked. And this time at once when they heard this, they were left. They did not go just like that. But they did not wait. Immediately they went. When they heard the word, not 2 hours later, 3 hours later, they went immediately. The servants who came back did not say, yeah, I'm tired now, I must take a rest. They went out again without seeing their tiredness, without seeing their own strength. But they went out again because they felt unused. They left because they don't want to be unused. Many of us here today, we talk to somebody about Christ. After that, if the person doesn't come to the Lord, we get unused like. We feel, never mind, I don't talk to anybody. Just 2 days ago, last few days ago, I had somebody here, and they said, are you a pastor nowadays? I don't talk about Christ to anybody. It's very difficult. Everybody like throwing stones at me. I said, did they physically throw? No, the word's not nice. They sometimes avoid me, you know. They get tired. They don't want to talk. But these servants were faithful servants. Check the scripture, it says that they went immediately. Immediately they went out. They didn't wait. They didn't see their weariness. They didn't see their burdens. They went out to see that the house will be filled. The king's house will be filled. Many of us are still waiting the time to talk about Christ to somebody else. We don't get a chance to talk to them. We might not even get a chance to talk to them because we might see one day God takes away and we don't have the time to talk to the loved ones. It's so urgent that we have to talk to somebody and don't feel tired about what's happened earlier, and God will do that. They all pointed only one thing. The people, the servants went up there, they didn't say, come, follow me. Like the pastor goes out or you go out there and say, follow me. No, it's not about that. I'm so blessed this morning when I see all of you all. Every time on Sunday I see all. It's not about me. It's about, I'm blessed because you all are coming here to worship God. The direction is God. Where did they point out to? The servants went out there, what did they say? The highway, can you come to the king's house? Can you come to the king's house? There's a feast. There's a king's feast in the king's house. They pointed not at themselves, but the king. Many a servants nowadays, when we are becoming a Christian, we find that we have got self-righteousness in our own self. Self-righteousness is the worst thing can happen to our life. Self-righteousness brings about, number one, arrogance. Self-righteousness brings about pride. Self-righteousness bring about that, you know, you are greater than the other person. Self-righteousness brings you an emotional level which is unbearable before God. Many of us want to be self-righteous, but God doesn't want self-righteous. God just wants something else from you, which I'll talk to you afterwards. Just God wants something else from you. Amen? Praise God. So God wants you to show the people the way, everybody in the highway, wherever we walk in our day, daily life, we show the hands there. There is a feast going to happen here now. King's feast is coming to very soon. It's ready now. Would you like to come and join the king's feast? Be married to the spouse. Your spouse is Jesus Christ. We don't do the work sometimes. And we complain and say, the church is empty. Church is less people. But we only see church people going from one church to another. But we don't see the increase nowadays. England, churches are being sold. You know who's buying the churches? The people from Arab, the Muslims are buying. The brother is from England. Check with him whether I'm saying the right thing. Every time I see that news when I from the pastors for they send, please pray for the church. That is a big thing. I wish I had the money all the time. I can go and buy all these things and call all the people and say, there's a feast here today, come. Be free food, never mind. At least I will know somebody will be saved that day. And that man has the fire, can go and testify to others. People are using the church nowadays as mosques. People are using church nowadays for other activities or business. Because it's prime land. God gave a chance for all of you and I. And all the world, people in the world are giving chance. But you do not want to use it. God will take it back and give it to somebody else. When I went to Sulawesi the other day to a place in Solo City, there's one, before we left, there was one lady who came to visit me and she said, Pastor, I want for prayer. I asked her what. She said she had a big house, a big, huge house, a mansion. It's a huge mansion. Her husband, she's a widow. Her husband left with her the huge mansion with her children. She has got 3 children. A lot of money. And every servant of God went there and said, this house will be used for the kingdom of God. This house will be used for the kingdom of God. She asked me one question. Pastor, how come all the servants of God came to my place and they said this house will be used for the kingdom of God? And I don't know how I gave this house to one person and the house is now being used for witchcraft. And some business. She has to move out of the place. Has to write the grant out. Because the wisdom. Wisdom. That's why God says, don't cast your pearls to the swine, the pigs. What have you got to do with the pigs? You have nothing to do with the pigs. Swine. You are supposed to be out. He's just giving you a metaphorically, you know, just the word pig is being used. I'm not against pig, okay? But he's saying, they don't know how to appreciate it. They will even swallow it. Instead of using it for themselves for beauty, but they'll swallow it up. Chew it up. Waste it. God is asking us today, why? Because you know why? They don't find that favor from God. They don't find that joy in the Lord. That is why they're not doing so. When he came, they found all the kind of characters and also found them willing to come. Every one of them was ready to come. Everyone, they said, there's a kingdom. Because they don't know. They don't use intelligence. They don't say, oh, a king has got a feast. Okay, I would like to come. In John, Revelation 19:9. The supper of the Lord's glory, the Lamb's supper in the upper room is for the glory of God. There are 4 things that you can see in this. In that supper, in that feast, you'll find they make a perfect feast. They don't have a feast which is just ordinary feast. It's an extraordinary feast. And this feast is a good time there in heaven. And it's a place called heaven. And they have this place there in good time. This feast is eternity time. It's not for one day. You are in the company. Company of whom? Company of saints. You are in good cheer because the glory of God is there. Because you found the glory, you go back. God gives you now a medal. You go up there. The supper, the feast Jesus talks about, is like what John Wesley said this. John Wesley once said this. The devil does not like field preaching. The devil does not like going out there and preaching to the people. And he says, neither do I. He also doesn't like. Right? He loves, he says, I love very conducive room, a soft cushion, just like what you're sitting on, a very soft cushion, a handsome pulpit like this, all right? But where is my zeal if I do not trample all this under my foot in order to save one more soul in life? John Wesley, after going through this, he says this, you know, if I don't do something for God and I'm comfortable here, my zeal is not there. Where is my zeal? Zeal for the house of the Lord. Zeal for the Lord. We come to church and we say, okay, go back. And 1 week later we come back, we have burdens. We have got burdens. We've got burdens. We are only interested in our own burdens, but we're not interested in the kingdom of God. We must expand the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is already here. You must expand the kingdom of God. Expand the kingdom of God. Go to the highways. The second part of the message I want to talk today a little bit. I hope you all don't mind. I'll finish by 12:40. I hope so. There is one part here which many people don't want to cover. The part which says that, but when the king came out, verse 11. But when the king came out to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment. He said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Who do you think this man is? Any one of you want to guess? Devil. Who else? Anybody else want to shoot? Wherever you are. Non-believers. Brothers and sisters, to the shocking of all of you all, if you go back and meditate, Jesus does not call, the king does not call a devil a friend. He does not call a non-believer a friend. The scripture says, I have called you not servants, but friends. Amen. I want you to go back and see the scripture. What happened to this man? Are you believing in a God? What kind of God are we believing? A God will send us to hell? He's believing, he's talking to about a believer. He's not talking about non-believer. I want you to take in consideration a little bit. Why did he enter first place? How did he enter into the house? Because he was invited. Nobody can go to the king's house if you're not invited. Hello? Did you get my point? Alright? So the servants went up, they invited him. And they brought him. And there, this man stands there, and it says, the king observed that he did not have a wedding garment. What is that wedding garment? Alright, wonderful. Brother, thank you. Bless you, brother. So, bless your soul. Thank you, brother. See, sometimes we are in a comfort zone as a Christian. Many of us think that, and when you see that CD, and I saw the CD when the pastor said, even pastors are there and pleading, I'm sorry, tell the Lord, I'm sorry, I will go back and pay back the money which I've taken away from the church. You know, I pray that one day I'll pray this. I'm looking for a CD, I can't find the CD. And I pray somebody will get me the CD, you know, so that we can play the CD and let the church understand. God is looking at a person, and a person was invited. A man was baptized, was walking into this kingdom of God, and walked into the life, and he said, I am part of it. He's invited. He was baptized probably, and brought, and he probably walked the life of a Christian life, and he's now in the kingdom of God for the feast day. And God is asking, now, why are you not wearing a garment? What is that garment? Go back and check the garment, the white garment, which is spoken about in the Revelation. The white garment is given by Jesus Christ. Everyone who comes to him and baptized in his name, he will give a new garment. The old sins are forgiven. Now you get a white garment. Amen. You are supposed to carry it throughout your lifetime, this white garment, and go to heaven. The feast day is your feast day, heaven. So he observed that one man did not have that righteousness. Now, God is so loving. If God is so loving, why is he allowing this to happen? Why would God allow this to happen? First of all, you must understand, we believe that once we are inside the kingdom of God, we'll never lose anything. We can still go back to do anything. He had a garment before. So he came in the garment which is the former garments. He did not have the new garment. So he has got to change to a new garment. You ask a person, when you go to a wedding feast, what do you have to do? You have to change dress. Right? Evening gown, if you go for a dinner, you wear an evening dinner gown. Is that right? Ladies, you all wear the best stunning gowns, and then you go out for a dinner. And then man will get their tuxedos and get up and then change and go for dinner. Is that right? So what is the word between the old and the new? Change. Change. Communion time, I use the word change. Why? Many of us, as Christians, we don't want to change. We still go back to old ways of life. Old ways of life. Old ways of life. On the day when you go and see the garment Jesus given, it's now still wretched. And you don't even ask for repentance. You don't even repent. The people do not even repent of the sins that they are doing sometimes. They feel it's okay. Because they found God so easy, can communicate already. Allah tapala, never mind la. God understands. You know, I call that escapism spirit. You escape from one to change, and you want to go back to the old one. That's called escapism spirit. You don't know how to face it. I remember speaking about it, about, I think, a month ago. Spirit of escapism. You can't confront your problems. You've got a weakness in your body or yourself. You can't confront it. You give an excuse so that you can still continue doing what you want to do. Some people have got pornography problems. Some people have got certain problems in their life. Habitual problems. Some people have got certain problems in their life. Maybe stealing. When you're a new person, you are supposed to stop that. Change should come. No, la, God forgives, la. The grace of God is upon me. The grace of God is upon you, yes. But there must be a change. What was John was preaching in the wilderness? What is repent? We have already spoken about that, okay? I've given the Greek word for it, and repent. Metatonia, right? Right. I don't pronounce it well, but it sounds something like that. The Greek word. It means a shift of change. A mindset change. A change in habit. A change in everything. There must be a shift in the paradigm thinking of yourself. That's called repentance. You see, Judas, he walked with Jesus Christ. At that moment of time, if he would have said, no, I repent, Lord. I have this intention. I've already made an agreement. I want to cut this agreement. I will tell you that day the spirit, the devil will go. It will still do its purpose. It will probably go to son of the priest, high priest, and get the person. And immediately Jesus would have been arrested tonight too. Many people today are thinking, every one of us will be in heaven. Yes, because I'm saved. I've accepted Jesus Christ. Those who call upon my name, they shall be saved, says the Lord. But how many of us don't change? And we are shameful to go and speak the word of God to others because our character, our build, our way we think, our way we do things, we can't even speak because now they will ask you, if you are a child of God, why are you behaving like this? So quiet here. I'm giving this message because last night God convicted me so much. A few days ago, God convicted me. He said, Lord, he said, there must be a total change. As you expect to come and ask God something, God is favorable, God is good, but God wants a change in our life. God wants to use us. If the person is a thief and he still continues stealing and after becoming a Christian, or cheating people and after becoming a Christian, how can he become the ruler of the new kingdom which God is going to bring? The new world is going to bring. How can he become a governor? How can he become an administrator? How can he become a steward of the new one? That's what God is asking me. If you're not righteous in the church, if you're not be right, straight, and transparent in the church, if you're not being straight, you don't teach the right things, people want to hear the good things and they still continue doing the bad things. I've preached it before, people didn't like it. But God says, preach it again. Preach it again. God says, we need to change. It's not lip service. Repentance should come from the heart. The heart should come. I repent. What is repentance? You are remorseful of the sin. You are really sorry for it. You are so sorry for it. And he says in Psalm 51,
when David repented, what did he say? A broken heart, a broken spirit, a contrite spirit, a broken spirit, he says. A contrite heart and a broken spirit, you will not despise the Lord. After that, did he do the same thing? The scripture doesn't say that he went and killed somebody else and robbed his wife, somebody else's wife. It doesn't say. There was a repentance. Repentance is change in life. Change. Brothers and sisters, why do demons come back to us? Sometimes the demon will touch you. And because you entertain some of the thoughts, the demon will enter and touch you. Oh, I like it, I like it, I like it. See, this guy is doing it. He's doing it. I'm happy with it. So once you get into it, he will come and say, yes, yes, I want to take control of the soul, the thought life. He wants to take control of your emotions. He wants to take control of your willpower. Once he takes control of this, the body is controlled by him then. But the Spirit of God is instilled inside. Because you did not will, you gave your will back to the evil one. Many people do not understand why Christians still have to do deliverance. I will tell you, there are many who are delivered, even Christians. Past, they did not forgive, they did not go away. Forgiveness is another part of life. In Christian life, forgiveness is important. There are times in our life, we do not know how to forgive some people. They hurt us so much. But we hurt Jesus so much, God so much. And then when he again said, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm remorseful of this, and I repent today. And God easily forgives. His blood just flows down, washes away our sin. And we have got somebody who's sitting in the house. Today I could not put up the banner. I will definitely have the banner up. To bear one another. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. You have to bear. You have to forgive each other. Forgiveness is one of those things which the stronghold, the demons will come and hold us into. Second thing, our habitual life. If the habit is all the time same again and again, he will come and enter you. He will not let you prosper. So he'll hold you. If there is something that you want to prosper, he'll hold you. You will not prosper. He'll rather have you in that place where you are. So that you will not prosper. Your life cannot be better because you allow it to happen. Because there's a heart that's not changing. Your heart must change. Your mind must change. God says, I love sinners. Because once they, when he loves them because when they change, he loves. One example is a woman who was brought to him. This woman was caught in adultery. What did he say? He only said one thing to the woman. You all remember not? I don't accuse you to. Don't sin no more, he said. Sin no more. He didn't say, go, I release you, I forgive you, go ahead. No. He said, sin no more. He expected a change in that woman's life. And that woman was righteous and she changed her life. The Samaritan woman at the well. John chapter 4, verse 23 onwards. When he said, chapter, he says, you know, this time you when you worship God in spirit and truth. And after that, she found something in him and she went to the city and she said, no, there's this man who talked about my life. Yes, it's true. The man I'm living with is not the man. He's not my husband. She admitted. There was a change in her life. There was a change. Either we marry Jesus Christ in this wedding feast, or we have to marry somebody else in our life. Whom do you want to marry in the last day? You decide. I decide. No one else can decide for us. God is just waiting that the change should happen. We cannot have two husbands. Even for men, we will have Jesus as our husband. We cannot have two. Only one wife, one husband. Only one spouse. The day is coming. Either you are married to the world or the ways of the world, or you're married to Jesus Christ, the character of Jesus Christ, the way of Jesus Christ. The devil cannot touch you and no one can touch you because you stand by your word and the word of God stands by you. And on the day, the witness will be the word of God for you. And he says, I will not accuse you. The word you read will accuse you on the day. No, all this I'm from scriptures I'm saying. Let's change our hearts. Let's change our mind. If there's somebody we have done, we cannot forgive, never mind, let go. They cannot hold us. You are holding us, holding on to the person. You are holding the person. Probably the person don't bother. I had one person who's called me. This person is doing something, so I'm having problem. I said, look, you can have any problems, but you see, if this person is injuring you all the time, now I tell you what, let the person say go. And he said, never mind, it's okay, whatever you do, do. I want to be righteous before God. Because every time you do something to yourself, you actually let the devil to clap hands and rejoice. I've hurt this person through this person. Do you follow what I'm saying? An example, Yeshua is there. He hurt me. Right? If he hurts me, or I hurt him. As long as he retaliates towards because I hurt me or he hurt me, he retaliates and we become very sorrowful and we come to enjoy, want to do something wrong, we want to stab him or something like whatever it is. What happens? The devil is rejoicing. He's allowing, saying that, ha ha, I was able to get this man's conscience and his emotions that now he's angry, that is a sin committed. Do you follow what I'm saying? We have to release. If there's a character in our life, there's none of us who are righteous before God. None of us, even me, I'm not righteous before God. I'm not righteous. I'm not holy. But I have to depend on God's holiness, His holiness, His righteousness. There's an exchange. There's a change. Jesus said, on my cross, when you accept me, I give you my blood freely in exchange. When you accept his blood, you're not only accepting his blood, but you're also accepting his holiness, his righteousness. Hello, do you get me what I'm getting? Are you all with me? The blood of Christ is righteousness. The blood of Christ is holy. That's what he expects out of us. In order for us to show love to Jesus Christ, we can only stand before Him and say, God, I'm sorry. I fell short in many ways, but I come before You, repent before You. Help me in my way, my walk. I want to change. A day by day, You will change. And I know God will remove it. I'm a man who's standing here. God has changed me from where I was. Totally. I say total. And he's still changing me in my character. As a preacher, I'm telling you, nobody is holy in front of you. Nobody. Nobody is so righteous like Jesus Christ. But the journey I took, I said, yes, Lord, do thy will in my heart and my mind. My mind will be thought changed. I told you all that sometimes back. Lord, every time I get angry with a politician, I feel like killing him. Going, getting a gun or something like that and shooting him down. I've decided not to do that. I said, Lord, I want to change that thought life. I'm getting angry, yes, it's good to be righteous, but those evil thoughts should not be right. I change. It's a process. When you get angry about somebody, you want to do something, that should be changed. God, I'm angry with this man. You said your vengeance is yours. Lord, I do not know how to handle this. You handle it for me. Lord, handle this nation where corruption is so high. I'm so angry about it. But I can't do anything much. Only on the voting day, only I can vote. But that also has not changed so many years. We have to change in order for the world to change, brothers and sisters. The church has got to change. You and I have got to change. Only the nation will change. We are Christians here, but we go out there and give bribe to attract business. We are living a double life. God doesn't like people who are double-minded. Amen. So God wants to do something today in our lives. God wants to change our hearts. God wants to change our minds so that we can have a life which is right in front of Him. And say, Lord, I've accepted Your holiness. I've accepted Your... I'm pouring on. The Spirit of God is every day grieving. He's just delivering to you every day His holiness and His righteousness. We have to hook onto Him and say, yes, yes, we'll give more of my righteousness, Your righteousness, because I'm not right, Your holiness. The grace of God is there for you. The grace of God has brought us out of our sin life. the grace of God has brought us out of our whole life to a new life. Then he says, I will remember no more of your sins in Isaiah. So today, brothers and sisters, I just want to wind up and say this. God is looking for us as believers. God is holy and righteous. When we repent before it, sometimes he says, no, why is it a routine that I must every time I ask forgiveness? It's okay. I'll preach about the grace next time. But the important thing today is there must be a change in us. This man who was there is not a non-believer. He's a believer. Because God will never call a man who's unrighteous his friend. The scripture says that. You can find for me anywhere and say that God says the people who are unholy, he calls them as a friend or a brother. God despises unholiness. There's one thing about God. You cannot change him. He's unchangeable. He's true. He says, I'm unchangeable. What God cannot do, he cannot lie. He cannot steal. He doesn't kill. All those things that God cannot do, he won't do. But all those things he can do, he will do. Every promise he's given you, he will be able to give it to you. And I'm also part of it. All of us have got to walk, brothers and sisters. The church is being called today to be holy and righteous. You're open anytime to show the righteousness of yours and the holiness of yours which you receive from God. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Father, we just want to thank you, Father. Lord, this word, Lord, is not a reprimanding, Lord. It's a calling from you, Father God. A calling from you because we love you. By our love, showing back to you, Father, our love is to give back the righteousness, Lord. Show the righteousness that you've given to us in our life. Show the holiness that you've given to us life to among other people. Lord, I pray, Father, that we can love each man and woman around us, Father. That we can forgive each other. We know, Lord, every habit that has been holding us, Lord, as bondage. You've broken it. But, Lord, our habits, Lord, have been going on back again, Lord, to the old life. Help us, Lord, to have a garment of yours. The garment, Lord, the white garment, that one day when we meet, Lord, our white garment will be still shining, Father God, because you are with us. Lord, help us today. Help us today to know the wedding feast. We want to be in the wedding feast. Lord, we have received you because you have chosen us from the highway. You have received us, Lord, from wherever we come from and cleansed us, washed us. Continue, Lord. Holy Spirit, continue to give us the unction to function in your spirit that we will carry the holiness and the righteousness that you have imparted into our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please rise. Everyone, please rise. Thank you.
I don't know what now. worship you in spirit and in truth. I worship you in spirit and in truth. God, humble, blessings flow.
Father, we just want to thank you, Father. We know, Lord, you are a holy God. In Revelation, there is no way, Lord, God is best. But, Lord, it's written, God is holy, holy, holy. Lord, in Revelation, it's never written of Father God. In any other word, it is not say God is good, but God is righteous. We thank you, Father God, from generations of Father to after generation. You still are holy. You still are righteous. Your ways are different, but man's ways are different. We thank you, Father, that you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, for us, so that we are redeemed. Help us through your Holy Spirit, that it will still remain and remain in the garment that you've given us, that we can present our garment before you as clean. And you wash away, Lord, all our pasts, with your blood when we come back to you and be repentful of the things that we have done. We thank you, Father, for your love, that we can love you and express our love in our worship, in our prayer, in our communication with you. Thank you, Father, that, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, teach us how to pray, teach us how to worship, teach us how to walk a life that is more characterized of Christ himself. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing in our lives. And I pray, Father, today, every word that's been spoken, Father, is not word of condemnation. It's a calling by you, Father. You did not come to condemn, but you came to call them back to your kingdom. That the children's heart may turn back to the Father, and the Father's heart has turned back to you, to the children. As we stand before you today, this morning, Father, help us, these children of yours, to fulfill the needs of yours, your expectations in our lives, that we will be a light for every other people around us. Help us to show the love that you show unto us. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. We just want to thank you, the word today, Lord. Well, Lord, will be a word, Lord, to bring cheer to every one of them, that, Lord, they are doing the things, we will do the things that you want us to do in this life. That your eyes be upon them in their goings and comings. And your hands will be around them, Lord, so that you'll be always safe in your arms. And your love will always be at them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Amen.